Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back out here on KMOX, it is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Jen Cease is going to be with us. We'll talk with her about the end-of-season news conference from City SC and what this means for the team moving forward. Before we know it, it's going to be a year three for the team. Obviously, an incredible first year, winning the conference, getting to the playoffs, a step back in year number two, but a year number two where they certainly upgrade the roster as the season went along. And now we'll see what it looks like for year number three, who the coach is going to be. Lots of questions to get into. That's going to be coming up with Jen here in about 10 minutes or so is when she's going to join us. Want to hear from Drew Bannister. He spoke with the media earlier today, the Blues head coach. If you're just joining us and you didn't hear the news of the day isn't good. Robert Thomas is going to miss at least 6 weeks with a broken right ankle. He'll be reevaluated in 6 weeks. So you would think that if the reevaluation occurs in 6 weeks, then in all likelihood it's going to be 8 weeks or more until Thomas comes back. No matter what, it's going to be an extended amount of time that the Blues are going to play without one of their, maybe their best player. Bannister did talk through that, and I gave his thoughts on the Thomas injury and what this means for the team moving forward.
Unfortunate news for the team and for Robbie too, and you know, the timing of it. I thought he played a great game last night up to the point of his injury. You know, but I think it's a great opportunity for our team really to build as a team, and you know, once we get him back, whether it's 4 to 6 weeks or you know, I think it's important for us. Obviously we're going to need guys to step up in certain roles, and but you know, there's a lot of guys in there capable of doing different things, and it's going to be a team effort, not one player. It's going to be a group of us that pull together.
How do you try to, I know nobody's Robert Thomas, but you're kind of having trouble with zone injuries. He's your zone injury. Like, how do you try to make up for what he did?
Yeah, I mean, you can't make up for the player, but as a group, like, we can make up for it, and that's the end part. It's not going to be an individual player. It's not going to be one player. It's going to be the 20 guys that are in the lineup, you know, pulling in the same direction and coming together as a team.
Is that what's kind of your message to the team after practice?
Yeah, before practice, after practice. Again, just continuing to build good habits, you know, the willingness to work for each other. But again, like, I think this is a great opportunity for us to really grab as a team and really come together.
How important is a guy like Braden Schenn going to be in that then to 100%. Increase his role and have everybody pull in that role?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's role is going to increase right now, you know, so again, it just goes back to the team aspect. Like, we need everybody on the same page. You know, we can't have any individuals. We have to have everybody pulling in the same direction here. You know, Schenner's done that. We've had a lot of guys doing that. I felt like last night was a game where I didn't see many passengers. The effort was there, and the effort's always going to be there. You know, today was a regroup day, but it wasn't a day you came to the rink. You're disappointed with the result, but I wasn't disappointed with the effort. You know, now we had to regroup. I thought we had a great practice, lots of energy. Guys came to work, and they're ready to go on the road and play some good hockey.
So that's a lot from Drew Bannister on this injury to Thomas. Kept referring to it as an opportunity for his team, and he's saying the right things. I'm sure he is disappointed. He has to be pleased for the most part with the way his team has started out the season. But you play without Robert Thomas for 2 months, that's going to have an impact. And we were talking with Bernie earlier. I'm not so worried about what the team looks like tomorrow or looks like 3-4 games from now. But what does the team look like 2-3 weeks from now when the freshness of the injury has gone away? And that strong desire and reminder that everybody has to step up to replace him, what does it look like? Can this team lift their overall game? We'll have to wait and see. But this is a really tough spot for this club to be in. So from a center standpoint, Braden Schenn will be the top line center, at least for tomorrow's game, along with Jake Neighbors and Brandon Saad from one side to the other. Pavel Buchnevich will remain that second line center with Kyrou and Texier. Then Dylan Holloway is that third line center. And Bannister talked a little bit about the state of the center position for his club.
Bucci's done a good job. I think it's still a role he's growing into, but you need centermen. Holloway's played center, so this isn't unusual for him. He's played center with us. He was drafted out of college as a centerman, so this is not an uncomfortable position for him. And then you have Faxa and you have Schenner that are both natural centers, and we have Sonny if we need to use him too.
What's the bigger adjustment? Is it going from wing to center? Or
I don't know. I was a defenseman. I just had a hard time going from left side to right side. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. There's, I think, you know, when you're a centerman, you're tasked to be under the puck a lot more, comparable to a winger. So it's your returns into the D zone and then being on the right side of puck. So there is some learning process there, but, you know, Bucci's done a good job of learning that. And Holloway, like I said, he's used to it. You know, it's just him getting used to it at this level.
Oscar Sundquist is activated off of injured reserve, so that's good news for the team. He was on the top line during practice today working on a wing, but that's only because Jake Neighbors got a maintenance day and Neighbors is going to be fine for tomorrow. Sundquist is another option. He is someone that you can put at the center spot, can play all over, according to Bannister.
He could play both, yeah. I think it's, you know, it's a good problem for us to have now, too, that Robbie's out, you know, that he can both play wing and center. So, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, but it's something that we'll look for, that he could play on the wing or at center.
Is Sonny traveling for this trip?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, he will.
So, and what he said right there is that Sundquist is going to be traveling. This is not a question of do they have guys to do things. They've got the guys. They just don't have the high-end depth. And look, in the NHL, no matter what the sport is, if you lose one of your top players, more often than not, it's really tough to replace them. But yes, there are players who can step in. Even with this injury to Thomas, Sundquist does not have a clear spot on any of the top four lines. So there is more depth just in that sense. But is there high-end depth? And that's the big question about this team. A couple other injury notes real quick. Looks like Scott Perunovic should be back in the lineup making his season debut coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that he's going to be a player for us tomorrow. So, and, you know, that's one of his spots he's got to thrive in, you know. So here's the opportunity for him. And again, you know, like he's going to get the chance. Now it's up to him to take that chance and run with it.
Bannister also gave an update on forward Alexei Toropchenko, who has missed each of the last two games dealing with a lower body injury.
Torpo, I thought today yesterday was a morning skate. Today was the first skate that there was some bumping and grinding in it, I think, since his injury, but he looks good. I think he's very close to playing.
So that's Blues coach Drew Bannister. Blues are back at it coming up tomorrow, their first game playing without Robert Thomas. Again, he's going to be out for probably close to 2 months, at least 6 weeks, probably closer to 2 months when all is said and done. They'll be north of the border as they are set to match up against Toronto coming up tomorrow night. Long day over at City Park today with a lot of press conferences, a lot of players talking, end of season media availability. Jen Cease is going to join us in studio coming up in just a moment or so. She'll share with us what she learned and what she thinks is going to be happening with this team going into their third year next year. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it here on KMOX. It is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. It was a busy day over at City Park. There was a fair amount of activity as it was end of season news conference day. And we're very happy to welcome onto the program in studio our good friend Jen Cease. How long were you there today?
Hello, like 2.5 hours or so.
Okay, so not quite as long as I thought it was going to be.
But they did feed I just missed breakfast. That's on me. But they feed you a little bit of breakfast. I mean, that's a good thing. But
I mean,
yeah.
if you give media food,
yeah, you do.
They will swallow. Warm.
I wasn't able to make it for that, but I was able to make it for Lutz, then John Hackworth, and then 13 players.
Okay.
That was a lot. I haven't even put it all on social medias yet. I'm behind.
Yeah. Where did you, I saw your tweet. Where did you hang out?
So I did go get a coffee after that because I know I was like, I need a coffee.
Should we do air quotes coffee?
No, I got real coffee and then I got quote coffee over at the Pitch,
okay.
Which was, it has a great, honestly, I went there because it has a good Wi-Fi signal. And what I loved is that they were had an event there. So there's like a barricade where they like you can't go over there. It was like a probably a company event, and they had on a city SKC game, which of course is the one we won, and that was fun.
All right.
So yeah.
What was the overwhelming feeling out of the? Because I saw a lot of your tweets. It seems like the general consensus from players was they didn't do enough this year. Is that kind of the overwhelming narrative of the day?
Yeah, I mean, overall, they know that the performances weren't good enough. Now, to be fair, I look back. So Lutz Pfannenstiel is the first one to say you can't count on luck, good luck or bad luck or otherwise. At the same time, and I think this is fair, they had a season riddled with injuries. It felt like every other week, who's hurt now? Mm-hmm. When I think back to that time, and I think it was in point seven key players were out at one point in time when you finally got Klaus out and Alm out and Pompeo was gone. Ostrak was gone. And it's one thing when you get players that maybe aren't key players that are injured, but you've got all these guys who are crucial to the starting 11, at least the starting 12 or 13, and they're all going out, and you're really relying on second team players to come in and do a consistent job with the first team. That's a hard ask.
It is. Klaus was banged up much of the year, but also
he was again when 2 years.
2 years. When he was in there, he certainly did not have the impact this year that he did in year number one, and he openly admitted that.
He did.
What is the process for him not only being able to stay healthy, but being able to lift his level of play again?
So that's a great question. So healthy is one thing, because he and a few others, especially those from Europe, talk a little bit about how the training here is different. You know, in Europe, I think it was Janis Horn also said, you know, in Europe, in Germany, you probably go to the gym to lift weights one time a week. Here, you go three times. So you're hitting your muscles in a different way and balancing the training. And I'm not saying it's good, bad, or otherwise, because I don't know, but it's definitely different. So there's the one thing. The other part is Klaus's position, as we know, and he's a DP, and he knows that that position has a lot of pressure, is a striking position, is a scoring position. But
I'm going to pause you real quick,
yes,
because this isn't the St. Louis City Soccer Report. There's some
You're
people
right.
who just heard that and heard DP and have no clue
Sorry.
What you mean.
Sorry, thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Designated player, which basically means you're getting paid a lot of money. You get three on a team. You're really important. Leuven is another one, Edward Leuven. We expect those players to make massive impact on your team. Lionel Messi is obviously
right.
a designated player. So when you do that and you then don't do what your position ascribes you to do, his is a I score goals position. He's not been scoring goals. He's been contributing to goals, which is one of the questions I asked him in his player profile is, are you comfortable with the fact that even though you're not the one putting the ball in, you're the one drawing two players with you so they forget about Edward Leuven outside the 18 who scores? And he says yes, but it's also kind of a no. So it is, but to be fair to him also, Coach John Hackworth has talked about using him as a bit of a six. So for non-soccer people, that's more of a midfielder position. So sometimes he's doing more defense than you would normally see some strikers do.
There are a lot of players who came in during the season in the transfer window. And for some of those players, it was kind of their option to come. Some of those players, that maybe the option wasn't so much. What was the feeling about the decisions that were made and if they were the correct decisions for some of those players who came in?
For them coming, feeling like this was, they all seem to be, when I say all, I'm talking about Cedric Teuchert, Marcel Hartl, and hearing from Janis Horn today, along with Thomas Totland, who was a little bit earlier, of course. But those big three, I would say, in the summer transfer window, Marcel Hartl is of the opinion of, I believe from what I've seen, not just your record from last year, but from what I've seen, this team is better than where it is in the standings. And I think we'll have that. When it comes to Cedric Teuchert, pretty much the same. When it comes to Janis Horn, it was really interesting. It's the first time that I've heard one of them say it was a dream to come to the MLS. And he was asked why. Because usually in the past, MLS has been mostly maybe a retirement
league. Up-and-comers
or have-beens.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, there's really a lot of players who aspire to come here, that it's such a growing league. And it doesn't hurt that there's a World Cup coming to the United States of America, which gives you a lot of high profile. But there's an up-and-coming league to kind of, you know, test your chops. And also, it's a different league in terms of it's more physical here. So you learn to play a little bit differently, good, bad, or otherwise.
That's it. That's what the league needs. The league needs there to be a desire for European players to want to come over here.
That's right. That's exactly right. Celio Pompeo, it was fun to see him and Tomas Ostrak back. They're not fully back, but to see them at the press conference. And they'll tell you that, too. They come from different. Brazilian style play is completely different than United States style play. It's interesting to even say that because we're such a blend of multiple styles. German style of play is much more direct, Fewer touches, get the job done. Brazilian is, hold on, play with the ball. Mm-hmm. So it's fun to hear some of those players. I hadn't heard a player that had come over here that said, this is exactly where I wanted to come to. It was a dream of mine.
Was Edward Leuven able to kind of reflect on what was just a crazy year for him?
Yeah, that's basically what he said. You know, went from coming in, having such a crazy good year, which they knew was kind of an anomaly. That's a... It shouldn't have happened is really what it was. I wouldn't trade it. Mm-hmm. I had the best time. But then to come in a second year with such high expectations with basically the same squad, and some MLS teams kind of figured out sort of how to play them. And then Leuven, I didn't really remember until he said it that he had such issues coming in. So he missed preseason because of his green card. And then also, of course, us finding out later, which he knew way before all of us knew, his wife dealing with brain cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine doing anything that's even remotely professional, much less playing a game at a high level when somebody's struggling like that. But he made it very clear, along with Klaus, that this is home. And Edward Leuven says, we're not even going anywhere for the break. We're staying here. This is our home.
Roman Berkey's never one to hold his tongue.
He is very straightforward.
He is. And he had a couple things to talk about. First off, I know he mentioned the team kind of being too nice, and he would almost like the team to have more of an edge to it.
He did. And that was really, you know, coming from a goalkeeper, that's usually besides your center backs, are usually your straightest talkers on the field. They're the ones that are going to tell you with the fewest words possible. I don't know how that equates to in baseball or hockey, but fewest words possible of what you need to do, if it was good enough or if it wasn't. And mm-hmm. they don't mean anything personal by it. It's just what needs to be done. So it's interesting. What I didn't quite get, and I think there's maybe a few veterans he's referring to. He might be referring also to just younger players of, if you see a problem, say it. If something needs to be say it, get it done. Be intense in training. Don't worry about what happens on the training pitch or on the game pitch. It's not personal. We don't need to take it home with us. All is good. And Indiana Vasilev agreed with him later.
He said that he loves being here. Is there a possibility? Is there a scenario where he's not here next year?
Could. I mean, he's got one more year, I believe, in his contract. So they're St. Louis is like, what? We can't be got with Roman Berkey, but there could be a scenario. Now he's a little older, and I say that, Chuck, I'm, you know, 20 years older than he is, but he's a little bit older. You know,
so he's 15 then, right?
That's exactly. Oh, you're so good. You're obviously married. So good. Yes, exactly. But he's a little bit older. He's, you know, you don't see it. When you watch him on the field, I do wonder if recovery is a little bit harder for him. Although, yeah, I don't seem to see it at practice, but it is one of those where, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if other clubs would come a-courting. To have a Berkey as a number one, and even, hey, do you want to take it a little bit easier on your body? And I don't know that Roman Berkey would ever want to be a number two, but he could do it and still make money.
Be interesting. When John Hackworth spoke, was he able to speak openly about his desire to remain in the position, or did he kind of beat around the bush?
Yeah, he did. No, he didn't beat around the bush. So it's funny. He walked in during when Lutz was talking and apparently made too much noise with the door, which Lutz called him out for. So they seem to have a fun working relationship. They seem to also be very direct with one another. Lutz apparently makes a lot of phone calls to John Hackworth. So be ready. If you're working with Lutz, you're going to get a lot of phone calls. John, I feel like, wants the job. I don't know necessarily that he would leave St. Louis if he didn't get the job. He's been a part of the club. He's had other positions there. But he did make it very clear that, you know, being in limbo right now, and I quote, sucks. So he definitely would like an answer as soon as possible.
Opinion question from you.
I knew you were going to do that.
How much better did they play after he became the head coach?
Okay. I think he was given almost an impossible task to basically get your job on a Sunday. Maybe Saturday night, I don't know. And then your next game is Wednesday, and you lose your coach, and the locker room is apparently messier than we all thought it was. I think he did a great job. I think John's style of play is not Coach Carnell's style of play. I'm not saying it's not pressing. It's different. It's less chaos. It's more control. And you can't make those changes all at once. You have to make them smaller. Otherwise, people are going to be like, what are you doing? I was recruited to do this. Now you want me to hold on to the ball? So I think I don't think he's uncomfortable with a bit more possession. He talks a lot about unbalancing the opponent with the ball, which means possession of the ball. So I think he's done a really good job with especially coming in losing the coach and, oh, you're missing seven key players at the time. Good luck with that. So I think he's done a lot. And all the players today, I think almost all of them, to the ones that I've recapped, have mentioned the fact that not only did he bring more organization to practice, maybe he brought levity to the locker room. He brought a little bit of a sense of a fun again when they needed it most.
That's Jen Cease. We are reflecting upon the 2024 City SC season. Dale Schilly will give us his thoughts on that as well, coming up in just a moment on the Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line. Have about 25 minutes left in the program. My name is Matt Pauley. Jen Cease is here as well. We're wrapping up the city season, and we're happy to welcome on as well Dale Schilly. Of course, you hear him on the Y98 broadcast, working as the analyst. Dale, always good to talk with you. Have you gone through withdrawal now that the season has come to an end?
I'm getting ready for withdrawal.
Dale is always on a pitch somewhere, though. There's no withdrawal from soccer.
True.
A lot That's was true. Obviously said today at the end of season news conference. Did anything really especially strike you?
No, I think, you know, I think just the idea of the guys that are coming back and, you know, looking at John Klein and his, you know, his release and that sort of thing. I think it's interesting just how that plays out. And when you look at a guy like John, that he's, you know, could be in a spot to maybe take another step forward because he's found himself a little deeper on the depth chart here at the end of the year than he was at the beginning when he stepped into play in June. So I think just some things that way from a roster perspective.
Yeah, I was going to ask Dale, too, Lutz, you know, who I think loves to tease us a little bit with giving us a little bit of information, but not too much information. He did say, and I'm quoting him here, he said that nothing that you see right now on the roster is set in stone. And he mentioned also at other parts of his part of the press conference that, you know, he is looking to increase the team in terms of defensive stability and speed. And he dared us to maybe guess where that might be. Do you have a guess? Defensive, I get part, but speed, I'm curious about.
Yeah, I just think in general the level of athleticism needs to get higher. Just because we just played a team that was very athletic in Minnesota, and they exposed us on the attacking side, and we couldn't on our defending side, their attacking side, we couldn't expose them going forward. So much of the game in the MLS is based on athleticism and getting up and down the field and transition. We have good technical players, but not the types that can physically get out and really hurt a team. So like Yeboah did to us, or Hloange did, or Ben did, you know, up in Minnesota.
Dale, I'm not trying to be dismissive of wins and losses, because in sports that's the goal, to win as many games as possible. But sometimes facts get kind of shielded by wins, and that may be how you would evaluate this team going back to year number one. Is the roster better right now than it was 12 months ago, even though 12 months ago they're coming off a Western Conference championship season?
I would think that there is more quality in terms of playing ability. You have different ways that you can score goals and create chances, whereas before it was really, you know, win the ball high up the field, get the goal in transition as quick as you could. Now we have the ability to do that, but we also have the ability to play through teams and create chances through possession. So I do think from an overall soccer playing ability, soccer IQ, technical ability, I would say that it is a higher level. I do think that there was a single identity that the team had a year ago when we were hitting on all cylinders that the whole group bought into. I do think we lost that solidarity and that single-mindedness as the year went on, but certainly in the beginning, Matt, when we were getting wins and you know, surprising everybody across the league, I think that single identity made helped us achieve our goals.
When you speak to identity, of course, you think of the identity the team had when Bradley Carnell was in charge. It was chaos. It was down the center as fast as you can, unbalance the team. Didn't really matter how you did it, so to speak. John Hackworth, of course, then got the job, had to make, and he said it all season long, he had to make tweaks here and there. He couldn't change the whole system, still wanted to be a pressing team, but he wants to go out about it a little bit differently. He did call out the guys for responding well to that, but what a challenge, I think, interim head coach John Hackworth has, and what a challenge it must be for him to wait on Lutz's, you know, and the club's, of course, final decision on head coach.
Yeah, and I think it's hard, like to play in the way that we were playing at the beginning of the year last year. It's just hard to sustain that three games in a week in the dog days of summer. Then you start to question whether. When you start losing some games, you start questioning whether this is the right way to play. And it's hard to keep guys playing that way over a long period of time through the season as we know it. So, I think from that perspective for both Bradley and John, that's a really tall task. It's difficult. I think from John's perspective now, just the way the work that he's done from the time he got in back in July, I believe, it's a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of commitment to get to this point. Now he's waiting. It's a tough one.
You mentioned the dog days of summer. There's a report out there that MLS is considering moving to a fall spring calendar, potentially as soon as 2026. Within that, there would be a 5-week break in the middle of the season, presumably during the 5 coldest weeks of that fall spring calendar. But I don't know if you heard that report. What is your initial reaction to it?
First off, Matt, I'm learning from you tonight that I need to read more.
We just got it too, to be fair. Look,
I would be all for it. If that's something that they're talking about, I would be all for a season that ran in the fall and the spring with a little break in the winter. I just think that the game would be faster. I think fans would enjoy it more. It's just such a difficult sport to play in July and August when it's the temperatures, the feel like temperatures are over 100 degrees. It's really hard to play. So yeah, I would welcome it. I think the league would be better for it.
I think Edward Leuven, talked about it a little bit today about how it's taken him still 2 seasons to get used to the fact that he's used to over in Germany. They're honoring the international breaks. Those are the breaks that they take. And he's like, you're playing for a short period of time. You can go all out. You know when your break is coming with the MLS. It's so different currently, and it's a whole lot harder to get used to. Plus, United States is a very big country, different time zones. You put in all those factors as well. And it reminds me, I'm thinking of the audience may not always be soccer people. It reminds me of a typical American school year as you go from August or September all the way through May or June. Mm-hmm. That's like the MLS. And if you think of the rest of the world does it, they're doing basically school soccer all year round with breaks in between. And it sounds like many of the players and yourself would welcome that.
Yeah, for sure. They would much rather play in 30 degrees or 40 degrees than 100 degrees, for sure. And I think to your point, the travel piece is difficult for the European guys when they come over. I mean, they're used to traveling by bus to nearly every game. And now you don't get a bus ride. The only bus ride you get is from when you land at the airport to the hotel. Everything else is 3 and 4 hour flights and across time zones, and either having to spend an extra night in a hotel after a game or fly back and get in at 5 or 6 in the morning and after the night of a game. It's really drags on you.
Dale, great stuff as always. We appreciate you being so gracious with your time, not just today, but throughout the year on this show and the soccer report, and great job on the game broadcast as well. I'm sure we'll be talking again very, very soon, but enjoy that withdrawal and also enjoy the MLS postseason.
All right. Thank you much, Matt.
All right. Very good. That's Dale Schilly joining us. Jim, I understand maybe quality of soccer would be better with that calendar. My pushback on it would be, you are trying to grow the game in the United States. you are trying to showcase MLS soccer in the United States. And in the current calendar, the vast majority of the year, there's no NFL football. There's no college football. Basketball is not being played.
You mean in soccer season?
In soccer. Mm. It touches a little bit at the front and the back. Yeah. I get that. But the vast majority of the season, you're competing with Major League Baseball, and that's about it. If they run that calendar, how do they find their piece of the pie when they're up against all 17 weeks of the NFL, when they're up against much of the NBA season, when they're up against college football and college basketball? I don't think that helps grow the game.
That's a great question, because you're talking about sports that are predominantly U.S.-based. And it's not like basketball and baseball don't exist in the other parts of the world, but they are United States sports. You're talking about a world sport that is watched by more fans than any other sport in the entire world. But here, it doesn't have the same kind of traction, but it's getting it, and the World Cup's coming here. And we're getting a lot more educated fans on whether they're following European leagues or maybe they're just international followers, whatever they are. It makes me wonder if the MLS didn't start that way for that very reason, what you're talking about. But now, given the grasp that the game is and how we've got more and more European players and others coming here, makes me wonder if it can't stand toe-to-toe with the other sports in the United States.
I wonder if the Apple folks might not like that.
Yeah.
When they're competing with college football on a Saturday night, how many people are going to click on MLS season pass instead of watching Alabama, Mizzou?
I do not know. I do not have that answer.
So, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Great job to you all season long.
Had a great time.
Doing the game broadcast, soccer reports. We'll be talking to you a lot moving forward, but thank you for everything.
Thank you.
That's Jen Cease. I'm Matt Pauly. One more break when we come back. Brad Young's in for At Your Service tonight. We're going to pull him into the studio. We'll get a preview of what's going on. That's coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it, the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Matt Pauly with you for just a few more minutes. And when I am done, Brad Young is in the house for At Your Service. Brad, we haven't seen you in a while.
It's, you know, there was this little thing called baseball.
Just a little thing.
Just a little thing called, you know, Cardinals baseball.
Completely dominates every aspect of my life for 6 months.
I know from KMOX's perspective, they were weighing, do we want baseball? Do we want Brad Young on Wednesday nights? But I think they chose properly, which was Cardinals baseball.
They could have just done both. Like you're in one channel, John and Rick here in another, and people can... Because if you ever hear like two audio things at the exact same time,
yes.
If you focus in on one,
oh, yeah.
you can listen to it and kind of tune out the other. At least my brain works that way.
Actually, wives say that all husbands' brains work that way when they choose not to hear what their spouses are telling them.
Yes. Well, clearly, I mean, that's just an automatic. You don't have to work for that.
No.
That just happens on its own.
That doesn't apply to me, of course.
Of course not.
But maybe others.
Yes. Yeah. So it was a disappointing finish for the Cardinals. They don't make it into the postseason. And I know you're a season ticket holder.
I am.
What is it? Because you text me every once in a while about stuff. What is your level of like acceptance of the team possibly taking a step back with the eventual goal of them really progressing forward if they can get player development once again chugging along?
I think St. Louis wants a team that is trying to win. And if that takes a season, an entire season of rebuilding, I think St. Louis would support that. What St. Louis doesn't support is when you have a team management saying, we are destined, we are on track to win, and yet all the moves that are made may not support that specific stated goal. So if it takes a season, an entire season to rebuild, I think St. Louis would be behind that.
I talked about this with Bernie Miklas earlier. I think my number one question going into next season is, I believe in what they're doing to reset redevelopment and reset the front office and everything. Heim Bloom is the right guy to be doing this.
Clearly.
The guy that they brought in yesterday has an incredible pedigree. They are bringing smart people in. But John Mozeliak's still there. And there is a growing percentage of fans that just can't look past John Mozeliak still being in the organization. I would tell them, take a step back. There's important stuff going on beyond what Mo is doing. But I'll be curious to watch how accepting people can be of a possible step back in an environment where Mozeliak is still the baseball operations head.
Correct. And here's a great example of that. I mean, you're the sports expert here, Matt, not me. But even if you look at some of the offensive problems that the Cardinals had this year, Goldschmidt's failure to hit where he's been hitting in the past, that's not John Mozeliak's fault. All right. If you look at some of the pitching that we wanted to get and expected out of some of our starters and didn't get, that's not John Mozeliak's fault. So I don't think you can poster child Mozeliak as being all the problems with the Cardinals. What I want to see personally is an increased emphasis on the farm team, on the farm club, and the development of players that way, because you achieve both excellence in sports and you don't have to spend $100 million or $200 million to get a keynote player if you develop players through the farm club.
The only pushback I would give you on that is they've spent way too much money on mid-level players. Go spend a lot of money on all-star level players. Stop giving $12 million to Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson.
Good point.
Those are the guys that you need coming through your farm system, so you pocket that money
exactly,
and you save it for when an all-star caliber guy is available.
Better said.
That would be my pushback there.
You got it.
What do you have coming up on the show tonight?
Well, I normally don't talk about a lot of politics. I talk about issues, but since the election's right around the corner,
there's an election coming up.
There is an election. Huh. I think Dogcatcher is on the ballot this year. We're going to open the phone lines up for that and talk about the news of the day. Phone lines open 2 hours.
I am so ready for the election to be done.
Me too.
Oh my goodness.
Me too.
They're in the. Sometimes I get the Twitter algorithm is crazy because it knows what I've been, because I look at stuff from both sides, and like I'll click on something, and then all of a sudden I'll just be flooded with information from that side, and then I'll look at something from the other side, and then I'll just be flooded with information from that side. It's crazy how that gets into it.
Those darn algorithms.
The algorithm could get you. That's Brad Young. He is at your service tonight, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Your night is going to be so much better by being able to listen to him. Don't go anywhere. At your service on the way next on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.